Yeah, so look, the lion's share of that reduction is in our eastern zone. We have the fisheries divided into six different zones across two species, blacklip and greenlip. One of the major zones is the eastern zone. This time last year, the catch rates in the eastern zone were actually trending upwards after taking some quota cuts. Fairly significant quota reductions going back 4 or 5 years ago in the eastern zone. Divers were reporting improved catch rates towards the end of last year, and we always close the east coast for the first 3 months of each year, January, February, March, which is it's their peak spawning period, and it makes sense to not harvest them at that time of the year. So when we finished in December of last year, we were expecting to be able to go back into the East Coast fishery in April of this year with good catch rates. But unfortunately, in the intervening period, we had a very interesting climate change. I guess you can refer to it as a climate change event. CSIRO have officially dubbed it a marine heat wave, where we had an elevated temperature in the inshore waters on the East Coast for over 200 days, so roughly from just before the end of last year through to about April, May of this year. And that warm water event has definitely affected, there's been a mortality event in terms of abalone. And it was that mortality event, which of course was very disappointing for us because, as I mentioned earlier, catch rates had certainly started to improve at the end of last year. That mortality event resulted in catch rates of around about 50% of what we had at the end of last year. And so most of the reduction in quota for this year is in response to that unfortunate mortality event.
Can I ask you, Dean, how long have you been abalone diving?
So this year is my 30th year in the industry as a diver.
Have you ever seen such a thing as a marine heat wave as described by the CSIRO?
We did have another event which didn't last quite as long back in the summer of 2010. And we had divers reporting abalone shells. So what happens when an abalone dies, it falls off the rock. The natural predators come along and eat the flesh out of the inside of the shell. And then you know that there's been a mortality event because you see a higher than normal number of upturned empty shells on the bottom. So we certainly witnessed that in 2010. The interesting thing about this particular event, which, as I said, happened early this year, was that divers didn't report seeing as many upturned shells as they did during the 2010 event. But I think in terms of the effect on the productivity of the resource, I'd say because it lasted longer than the 2010 event, we've actually had possibly a higher degree of mortality. It's always hard to estimate these things. But in any case, from a fishery performance perspective, our catch rates had declined very disappointingly. Divers were swimming around April, May, reporting, you know, catch rates around about a half of what it was when we finished last year. During the course of this year, the catch rates have sort of stabilised, and in some parts of the coast improved a little bit. In some parts of the coast, dropped off a little bit. So the vast bulk of the reduction for the 2017 quota year has been in response to this climate change event. I mean, I'm a bit of a I sort of fit in that grumpy old man demographic, Tony. I've always been a bit of a climate change sceptic, but I'd have to say that certainly diving around where I live, which is the Tasman Peninsula, I've never seen anything like this before to this extent, and I'm not quite the sceptic that I was, let's put it that way.
Dean Lisson, CEO of Tasmanian Abalone Council, is our guest on the country. Dean, when I spoke to you around this time last year, you were looking at this year's total allowable catch, which was a record low, and you thought maybe that's the last year, things will turn around, we'll start getting more tonnages available. When do you think the turnaround will come?
Well, look, that's the $100 million question, I suppose. I mentioned $100 million because that's what the industry turns over roughly in export revenue each year. So, look, we, as I said earlier, Tony, had we not had this unfortunate climate change event, well, if you're a tuna fisherman, it was actually a bonus because the Tasman Peninsula area has had a record tuna fishing season, which was probably largely due to the fact that we had this warm water event. So they're, naturally, if you're a tuna fisherman, you are pretty happy. But abalone and I think some other species have definitely been detrimentally affected. But to answer your question, we didn't anticipate this climate change event occurring. And for that reason, I was reasonably confident this time 12 months ago that we could, that catches were stabilising and we could maintain the quota level at around about 1,700 tonne. But unfortunately, that hasn't been the case. And, as responsible custodians of the resource, we need to respond to these sorts of events. And that's what we've done in reducing the quota for 2017.
And it's pretty tough making any predictions.
It is, yeah, it is. I don't want to make it. I certainly wouldn't want to say that this is the last time we'll have to reduce the quota, but I'm hopeful that if we don't have similar heat water events for some time, the fishery, by cutting the quota that we in the way that we have done, we hope to give it some breathing space to recover again. You know, that's hopefully we'll get a stabilisation of the resource and eventually an improvement, which we started to get 12 months ago, but unfortunately it got knocked around by this marine heatwave.
Now, Dean, is there, for abalone divers, is there a silver lining in any of this?
Well, look, the silver lining in this is that what we're for probably, well, in the 30 years that I've been involved in the industry, we've always worked very hard to maintain the resource. We still have the world's largest wild abalone resource, and some would argue quite convincingly that it's one of the best managed wild fisheries in the world. We certainly work very hard to look after it, and I'm hopeful that in the years to come these stocks will recover. So I think the message for the divers and the divers are very much involved in the decision making process when it comes to setting the quota. We have a what we call a fishery resource assessment group, which is a group of divers, processors, quota owners, and abalone scientists. We get together four times during the year and pour over all sorts of fishery performance data. So the divers are very much involved in the quota setting process. The silver lining for them, Tony, is that we can stabilise the fishery and hopefully look forward to improving catch rates in the future. That's the real silver lining.
And the prices are good?
Prices are good this year. In fact, we've hit a record high, which we achieved a few months, or probably maybe 6 to 8 weeks ago now. The bleach price for the first time ever went above $60 a kilo, so that's a record for us. And that's largely due to, that's almost entirely due, in fact, to live sales into the China market. We've got strong demand, and the lower Australian dollar relative to our trading currencies is helping, and also a little bit of, we're starting to do a little bit of marketing, so we're hoping that also may be gaining some traction as well. So that's a good thing.
And dare I say it, Dean, if you had another 1,000 tonnes of abalone, you could probably easily sell them.
Absolutely. The global demand for prime quality wild seafood is increasing, more so in particularly in China. There's a sort of a rising middle to upper class mass demographic, and they love seafood. Seafood is their prized food in their food culture, and they are increasing in number, and more importantly, they're increasing in wealth. So I think the message for seafood producers everywhere, but particularly wild caught, is that the global seafood market is only heading in one direction. So demand, I don't think, will ever be a problem. We just have to look after our resource, Tony. That's the key thing.
So 10 years down the track, is a figure of, say, 2,000 tonnes of abalone a year achievable?
So what we want to do is we are in a stock rebuilding phase. In the 30 years that I've been in the fishery, this is the third phase where I've seen it go down, and then we've had to take quota cuts and it's built up. The fishery responds favourably to quota reductions, and I'm confident the resource will recover. We may have to wait a few more years, but our objective, Tony, is to get the total allowable catch back up around 2,100 tonne. Abalone scientists and resource managers and the industry itself, we all believe that that's an achievable figure. At the moment, we're 400 or 500 tonne under that. But we believe with prudent management strategies going forward, there's every reason to hope for, we won't be increasing the quota unless it's sustainable. And we certainly won't be doing that until we've got plenty of evidence to show that the fishery is improving. But ultimately, 10 years from now, I'd like to think that we could achieve a 2,100 tonne production level.
And will Dean Lisson still be diving?
Well, I'm 55 now, Tony. This is the 30th year.
And a young.
I'm only young. We've actually got one fellow who's now about 72, I think, 72, 73, and he's still diving. So I guess on that basis, I could go for a little bit longer. But ask me in 10 years and I'll give you the answer then.
I will do that. Good on you, Dean.
No worries, Tony. Always a pleasure. Thank you.